Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Fly Conversation. I'm Annette Johnson, your host and the Fly Coach. I am a life coach for women who are experiencing turbulent life transition. These are women who are experiencing domestic violence, drug and alcohol addiction, homelessness. And my clients that I work with are the organizations that actually provide life services to these women and their children. I wrote a book last year entitled Fly, Forgive and Love Yourself, A Path to Letting Go and Living with Inner Peace. And it was inspired by the work that I do with these women. And it's also my personal mantra. It's something that I try to live by every day. And it's also the inspiration for this show, which is why it's called Fly Conversation. And it's a women's empowerment talk show. And the women that I invite to come on the show are women who I look to as women who exemplify empowered living. And that's to say the least about my guest who's on the show tonight. And I want to tell you a little bit about her before I bring her on the air. Ronice Bruce is the host of the Ronice MB Show, Real Life, Real Talk, Real People. Love her show and have been following her since I met her last year when we shared a panel together. Let me tell you a little bit about her professional background. She's the honorary mayor, one of the honorary mayors of Newark. She's a business resource specialist for the Newark Workforce Investment Board. She's the CEO of RMB Consultant Group, the owner of Mona Lot Cocktail Parties, and the founder of Black Boys Count. She has a BS in public health and an MBA in health administration and global business. And she's also a wife and a mother. And I have featured her on my website this year as Fly Woman of the Month. Every month, I do my research and I pick a woman to acknowledge for the work that she's doing in terms of empowerment. And so I'm so happy that Ronice is the Fly Woman of the Month, and I'm so happy that she's a guest on my show tonight. So welcome to Fly Conversation, Ronice.
Hi, Annette. Oh, thank you so much for having me. I am truly honored to be a part of the show as well as have become a part of your life. This is... I'm always humbled to have the opportunity to do this, because when you start to live in a way that wasn't in your plan, it takes you to a different level. And I've had so many people reach out to me only because it's one of those things we have, and being honored, it comes down to being honored because of my life experiences. And I believe that there's joy in all our journeys. That regardless of anything that we've gone through, that you have an opportunity to either get stuck in one place or really use those experiences to find, they're not always going to be happy, but at least to find some joy in that, that I've learned from that experience. I've learned from that pain. And so to have the chance to talk with your guest and your audience is truly an honor. I must say I blush every time somebody says something to me of this nature, because I don't think there's much that's special about my story. I just think that I'm just not afraid to share it. And whatever embarrassment or shame that could come from sharing my story, I believe that it's a healing in my own process, and I believe that I'll help someone else be healed. So, again, I really thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, I am so blessed to be able to do what I do. I got an invitation to do this over a year ago and just decided, you know, why not? Let me try something different, something new. And I became involved with my women's advocacy work because I was on a journey to try to get healing and peace for myself, which is how the book was born, the radio show was born. You know this for yourself. You know, you start going inward and doing the work, and all kinds of stuff starts coming out. And so when I was on my journey, I never talked about growing up in a violent home. I never talked mm-hmm. about it. I never even talked about it to my best friend, and we've been friends for 30 years. When I started talking about it, she was even surprised. And when I started going to therapy to get healing for the relationship between me and my mother, because I had so much anger towards her, and I felt so guilty about it. I didn't want to be angry towards her. It was the first time that someone had said to me, "You are a domestic violence survivor." And I looked at her like she was crazy. I was like, but I've never had experienced domestic violence. She says, but you grew up in a home with domestic mm-hmm. violence, and you watched your mother be tormented and abused and sent to the hospital and left for dead at the early age of 9 years old. And so this is just recently, wow. the past couple of years. And as a part of my own personal atonement and healing, that's how I started doing this work, wanting to empower women who are in this situation, and to let them know that there's life on the other side of this situation. You may be going through this right now, but there's life on the other side of this. And that's why I was so attracted to you, because until I read your story, I would have never, ever thought in a million years that you experienced what you experienced, because here you are, this tall, beautiful, statuesque, very intelligent, articulate woman. And that's why I do this work, because I think there's such a stigma and stereotype, you know, to people who go through this. Like, people have these mm-hmm. definitions in their mind of what they should look like and how they should be living. So I'd like for you to share a little bit, you know, about your story, because that's one of the things that that's one of the reasons why I do this show, is for women to share their story, because somebody else out there is in the same situation. And if they can see you, a beautiful, full-bloom rose that you are today,
aww.
Having gone through that, then they can make it too. That's the inspiration. That's the empowerment.
Well, thank you for sharing that with me. Again, I say it's one of those things that the fear is removed when you start to share. And my show and my life has always been my open ability to talk about the fact that from the time that I was 8 until the time I was 13, that I was molested. And then I went to college and I was gang raped by a group of boys. And then I transitioned later on in life and I lived in a domestic violence situation as well. And in each of those circumstances, one of the things that I later on learned in life was I didn't speak out, and I thought of everyone else first. I didn't think of myself first. And so whether it was that I allowed someone that I knew that was doing something wrong to me at a young age, I knew what he was doing wasn't right, but I also sacrificed myself because I didn't want him to leave a certain situation or cause a family issue to happen just because I said something. So, and then in going to college, the boys that did what they did to me, they were in college on the college scholarship. So I didn't want them to lose their scholarship because of something that I said. And then,
wow.
In my domestic violence situation, I thought of him first because I didn't want to be the cause of him potentially ruining the rest of his life. If I called him, you know, made a phone call, now he has a domestic violence charge on him. I didn't want to remove him from, because he would be angry at me, and therefore, you know, he may not come and be around the children. So it was like all those things. And I recognized that I had my silence became pain, that I had to hold myself accountable for the choice that I was making and not saying anything. And it took a while for me to recognize that I was accountable for that. I wasn't accountable for what other people did to me, but I was accountable for me not saying anything. And so the women that I choose.
Can I just interrupt you for 1 second, though? Because mm-hmm. what you said is so important, and this is what I'm learning in the training and education that I'm receiving to do what I do, is that silence is very common. And that thought process that women have, even though they're being abused and they're being mistreated, they're still worried about protecting the abuser. And I just heard you say the guys were on a scholarship. You didn't want to put them out there and cause them any harm, or, you know, have them upset mm-hmm. with you, et cetera, et cetera. And that's very common that women go through that. They're still trying to protect the person that is doing them wrong.
And I think a lot of it's
a part of that.
So that then you be then what I learned in life is that I developed this sort of resilience that mm-hmm. no matter what came to me, I was equipped to deal with it because I had already gone through other things. And it also put up this wall that I can do everything because I overcame these other situations. So being vulnerable was an issue for me, even though there were times when I needed to scream, help me, help me, help me. I couldn't do it because I just didn't know how to. And I felt everybody else's issues because I have been the person that most people would call and discuss their problems and issues with. It's as if I make everybody else's issues bigger than my own, recognizing that I have had the ability to sustain more than most people, I think, could even imagine. And so even in my own coaching of women that, too, have gone through some domestic violence situations or sexual violation, and even the birth of Mona Lot actually came from within my relationship when I was being abused was that I didn't know myself enough sexually to tell my mate what would please me. And so therefore, when he asked me to do things that weren't pleasing to me, it was a problem. And so it started there and then it escalated into other things. But I had to say, I know I can't be the only woman that just doesn't know my body enough. I can't be the only one that is not necessarily afraid, but I just don't know what to tell somebody or feel as if I'm empowered to do that. And so I started my company. I started Mona Lot cocktail parties to be able to go out and talk to women about healthy sex and sexuality and how to learn how to please yourself before you look for someone externally to please you. And then that way you're not turning into someone that you're not in order for somebody else's pleasure. And then, you know, now it's just to the point where people see me, and most of the time I am a rather bubbly person. Most of the time I am I try to stay on a positive track, but, you know, we all go through things and mood changes and mm-hmm. of the sort. But I also know even in that, no one else is accountable for my happiness except for me.
That's true.
Even, you know, in my marriage and my friendships at work, I'm accountable for all that I endure. I don't have to ingest things that people displace on me. So whether it's their anger or whether it's their own insecurities and things like that, just as long as I'm strong in my spot, that's the love that I had to learn. That's the thing that I had to do. And to speak up, you don't have to be rude about it because you see some people that are always ready to attack someone when they say something. There's a way to really respond to something in a way that it gets your point across, but I don't have to attack you.
Right.
And I recognize that in some other women that you may talk to, that if we see it in other women, you can look in your mirror and say, I understand you. And it's okay. Let's take a minute because I hear you and I want your feelings to be validated and I want you to hear that I respect what you're going through, but I need you to ask yourself, why do you feel that way? And once we really start to take it back, I think once we peel back all those layers, I too, like you shared, you know, we all have issues with our moms, right? Most relationships, when you get into a relationship and they say, oh, you know, a man will tell you you have daddy issues. I think across the board, male and female, we have more mommy issues than anything else. So whether it was the point that we were overloved by our moms, neglected by our moms, a reflection of our moms, whatever that to be, it's one of those things that we have to really be able to recognize those things and to be able to say, it's okay. I don't have to be perfect. My mother wasn't perfect, but she was who she was, and parts of her are a part of me. And I had to learn to love those things. And I had to look at myself and be able to do that. I can't say, you know, I go back to, if I could erase just that 5-year window when those negative things happened to me, or even just those isolated incidents when those things were happening to me, I can say overall I had a really good childhood. And people wouldn't think that I went through the things that I was going through as a kid. Because I still laughed, I still played, I still joked, my mom still went out, we did all these other kind of things. I have wonderful brothers and sisters, still something that was missing. And even in that, I can just really and truly say that I just love my mother. It wasn't something that she did. It would be different if it was something that she necessarily did to me, and it wasn't that situation. Of course, we want to feel protected in any circumstance and situation, but we also know in our families, if children share that, it's like, don't tell anybody that. It's taboo. Like, don't talk about that. As if it's a scar in your family of some sort. And then even now, as an adult, I have people say, oh, if I was you, I wouldn't tell anybody that. And I said, well, that's your choice, and this is my testimony. It's okay.
People get very uncomfortable. Not only are they uncomfortable sharing their own story, but they're uncomfortable hearing about someone else's as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've heard that too. And I've also heard, you know, when you're working in the domestic violence circle, everybody assumes that you're being abused.
Right.
Because you're doing that work, so therefore it must have happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you talked about a few minutes ago, things that you learned about yourself. Can you share now that you're on the other side of this experience and looking back, what can you say were some of the most eye-opening or powerful lessons you learned about yourself?
Wow. I had to learn that, first and foremost, that no is a complete sentence.
I like that.
People, no is a complete sentence because we were raised to believe, you know, you do, the more you give, the more you receive, the more you do for others, it does more for you. So I was always the giver. I would allow people to call me on the phone, and I could be having a good day and somebody come and drop things on me, or people ask me to do things. And it was like, okay, yes, Ronice is always available. And I had to say no. And it's really hard. A lot of people just don't know how to do that, and not give an excuse. I also learned that it's okay to love myself first, and that wasn't always easy to do. And I had to, most of all, learn that it's okay to express how I feel in that moment and not feel as if it's doing me any disservice in doing that. I tell everybody on my show, there's no shame in sharing your story, but I also had to learn not to get stuck, mm-hmm. not to get stuck in one particular moment. I shared on my show that when I was in my relationship, when things happened to me, I had to tell him, you're taking me back to being 8. The things that you're doing to me and violating me, they take me back to that moment of darkness for me. And I don't want to be in darkness. I want this to be something healthy. So I would even give him a chance to modify what he was doing, but it didn't matter. And then I had to learn that I matter. It's okay. And even I had to make that choice. Not that I wanted to sacrifice my children, not that I wanted to sacrifice my relationships, not that I wanted to sacrifice anyone else, but I couldn't continue to be the sacrificial lamb for everyone else either. And I had to really learn that I matter. I matter most to myself. So that's why when I started to follow you as well, too, and it's fly, first love yourself. And so you hear that all the time. You know, if you don't love yourself, who's going to love you? If you don't do for yourself, who's going to do for you? Treat people as they treat you and not as you want to be treated. You hear all those things, and it looks wonderful, and you know, you post it, repost it, do all this other kind of stuff on social media. But what does that really mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I started to learn that the more that I love myself, people that I thought were my friends started to kind of disappear because I didn't see myself the same way. And so once I started to see myself differently and feel differently about myself, it wasn't the point that these people still weren't my friends. They just were no longer a reflection of me. Mm-hmm. And that was hard because, again, you want to have the same people that you have had in your life for a long period of time. But I also have learned that the more I let go, the more I receive. So those are some just a few things. And, that, of course, I've always learned that there's joy in my journey. And no matter what happens, no matter what direction it goes in, if I own my own choices and I'm accountable for my choices, I have no one else to blame but myself.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, that's the work that I love to do within these organizations, is because a lot of times when I meet women where they are in this cycle is, you know, they've been silent, you know, and they're just starting to kind of hear their own voice and recognize mm-hmm. their own voice and be comfortable, you know, with their own voice. And so I love doing the new beginnings piece of the cycle. So, you know, they get a lot of counseling and therapy, and what I love about these organizations is they meet women where they are. So if they need a roof over their head, they get a roof over their head. Their children get, you know, taken care of. They get clothing and food, et cetera, because, you know, when you make that choice sometimes, especially when you're in a very violent situation and you make that choice to leave, you're leaving with the clothes on your back. You have
right.
absolutely nothing. And, you know, so those needs, your basic physical needs have to be met first before you can start this journey of, you know, healing and, you know, doing this inner work. So I really like being on the journey with them as it relates to new beginnings and going inward and really finding their voice and being comfortable with, like you said, no being a complete sentence and rewriting the script for themselves. I like to say, listen, you can rewrite the story. This chapter
mm-hmm.
is over. It's done. Get the pen and pen out because you can rewrite this story and you can still create the life that you want to have for yourself.
Or don't choose your
so
whole life today. You know, it's
yeah.
people that will make a decision in as if it's all final.
Right.
And it's
right.
not. Some people say you only live once, and I'm like, no, you only die once. You live every day. And it's really how do you wake up and feel about that? You know, we go to sleep. If I share just a small story, last week, and this is really funny, I've been married now, I think, 19 months.
Wow, you're a newlywed.
Yeah, kind of, sort of, not, yeah.
Listen, I've been married 30 years, so you're a newlywed to me.
Some days it feels like 30 years. Some days it feels like 30 years. So and he and I didn't know each other for an extended period of time before we got married. And so two weeks ago I had an emergency surgery, and I took a week off, and then I jumped 2 feet in into a new role, and as one of the, as you said, one of the honorary mayors of the city of Newark. But I jumped in 2 feet and I worked more hours than I anticipated upon doing. And I was angry on one day because I was getting up from work. I was there until like 8:30. I'm in pain, right? And then, and so I called him on the phone. And I said, I'm just leaving work. And he offered no compassion to me. And I was so angry. I said, you know, this guy not being sympathetic to my situation and everything. And I came home prepared to be angry with him. And I took a minute and I stopped and I looked in my rearview mirror and I said, you chose to stay at work late. He's treating you the way you're treating yourself. And you can't be angry at anybody else but yourself. And that's that thing that it's easy for us to displace what we grew on someone else. And so even for the women that I do know that make that choice, and I commend them, because it's not always easy to get up with the shirt on your back and pack your babies up. Because I was in that, mm-hmm. That was me. Every bad scenario that could potentially happen, and then I'm telling you, I was the woman that was doused with gasoline and set on fire. I was the woman who was, in my mind, these are all the things that are going to run through my head. I'm sleeping in one room with the kids and telling them, you know, this is the escape route, and we parked the car around the corner. I had everybody stone cold crazy over the choice one that I made to have a person in my life, a person that I chose to have children with. And then here it was, a person that I still allow to live in my spirit so deep. And I'm going through all this crazy, and I didn't make one phone call to the right people that I believe should, you know, be accountable to protect me.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to just stop, and I said, I'm giving them more power than I can give myself. And at the end of the day, I always ask myself, what's the worst thing that can happen? If I choose to live at peace with this, the worst thing that can happen is I won't be here. But the best thing that can happen is that I own my own truth and say, I did all this, I'm accountable for it, and how do I move forward? How do I have a conversation with somebody to say, you know, let's not do this anymore, and it's okay. I don't make any more excuses for what you're doing. It's not right. And some people don't, they're not ready to recognize that. And it took 2 years for him to be able to come back and apologize to me, because it took him 2 years to realize what he was doing was wrong, because they don't see the pain. They don't see, they see their own need. And it's like, well, what's the big deal? I only hit you. What's the big deal? I only, you know, what's the big deal? Get over it. Because, you know, we could go back and play. When we were kids, remember, you hit somebody,
right,
go back
right.
outside, apologize, and we can play. This is real
right.
life.
Right.
But even in that, I'll share that I couldn't say those things until I, too, had to recognize, and being a mom to my four babies, is that when I'm out of order and I take my frustrations out on them and I hit them, call it discipline, that I'm doing the same things to them that this man was doing to me. I am the intimidating factor in my home. And so I had to learn to manage my own emotions. I had to learn to keep my hands on my own body, as I like to say, and make that be universal. Because if not, my children will learn to live, as you stated, in a domestic violence situation. So we only like to name it adult to adult when those things happen. But if you're lashing out on your children emotionally, physically, verbally, all those things start to fester, and we have to remember they're growing up. So what we are doing to them becomes who they are, and we have to learn how to manage that differently. Because if you're telling your child once you hit them, and then you tell them, you know, be quiet before I give you something else to cry about. So when a man does it or a woman does it, because let's not forget that there are men that are abused as well too, that this is something that they learn, so it becomes a learned behavior. When we tell our children to shut up as if their opinion doesn't matter, we're telling them, don't speak, your voice shouldn't be heard. So it's a whole host of other things that go along with this that we have to be cognizant of, especially in raising children in the homes that that we're doing that in.
And it's how you treat yourself out of that anger as well, too, because, I mean,
right.
we could go down another whole path with, you know, overeating. You know, eating too much, trying to fill that void that you have in your life, or, you know, drinking or using substance abuse or being in other relationships that, you know, you shouldn't be in. It's all cyclical. Like, it's all centered around something that's not being addressed, that's not being healed. And so what we do is we compensate. We compensate for that in so many different ways. So, you know, it's really deep when you think about it. And a lot of times we wind up being victimized again because we're not taking care of ourselves, and we're not in a position to be able to take care of ourselves, because you don't know what you don't know. You know, things, what you're going through sometimes becomes your normal everyday life. It's not until, and maybe you could speak to this a little bit, because for me, it wasn't until I got on the other side and started doing the work within myself that I realized how dysfunctional my life was and how much I wasn't taking care of myself. And I thought, geez, I thought I had a pretty decent, you know, I thought I was a pretty decent person and, you know, try and did like some of the normal stuff. But it's not until now when I look back and I think, oh, my goodness, I can't believe you put up with X, Y, and Z for the amount of time that you did. Or I can't believe you stayed in that job for the amount of time. So it's all like so obvious now.
Job,
but when I was in it, when I was in it, it was not obvious at all. But I have to pause for just a minute. Listen, this is the fastest hour of my life. I say this on every show. It goes by so fast. I just have a couple of announcements that I need to make for the network that I'm on. And then we're going to come back in the second half of the show. I want to talk about all the great stuff that you're doing, because for me personally, I think that's where the empowerment comes in, is when women can see the success, you know, that has come out of the mess. And how, you know, how your life has been put back together, and how you're now walking in a path that you can be proud of, and that, you know, you can leave a legacy for not just your children, but a legacy of great things of the work that you've done. So I want to talk about that the second half. So for my listeners, we have a lot of people who are online, I see here, which is fabulous. I have a lot of people who are online. So please feel free to comment or question in the chat room. I see you. And I'll read it on the air to Ranice if you have a question or comment that you want to make. Or you can call in. It's a toll-free number, 646-716-9397. I'll give it to you again, 646-716-9397. 716-9397. Follow the prompt, and I'll bring you on the air, and you can make your comment or ask a question. So I am a member of what's called Life Coach Radio Networks. I'm one of about 80 or so coaches that belong to this network. You can learn more about the coaches and the network by going to www.lifecoachradionetworks.com. www.lifecoachradionetworks.com. You can go to meet the coaches, and you'll see all of the coaches that belong to the network, and you can click on their link and learn more about them. And the founder and executive producer of the network is Russell Terry. So we have a variety of shows that come on Life Coach Radio Network, which is hosted on Blog Talk Radio, and just want to share a couple with you. So tonight at 9 o'clock is Saying Yes to Your Most Fabulous Life with Life Coach Charmaine Alzwong. So if you want to say yes to your most fabulous self and learn more about how you can be better to yourself and live your best life, please tune in. And then on the 13th is at 8 o'clock p.m. is Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. And so that's a program all on spirituality. And then on the same night, on the 13th at 9 o'clock p.m., is What is Player Personal Development and Why Do Athletes Need It? And so Pasha Cook and Dr. Mark Robinson share some of the development secrets from athletes and how that can be used in your personal life. And again, if you go to Life Coach Radio Networks, you'll see all of the upcoming shows and previous shows, as well as if you go to Blog Talk Radio, you'll see some of the shows featured there as well. Again, my name is Annette Johnson. I'm the host of Fly Conversation and the author of Fly, Forgive, and Love Yourself, A Path to Letting Go and Living with Inner Peace. It's available on Kindle and on Amazon.com. My special guest tonight is Ronice, and she is the host of the Ronice MB Show. And so now for the second half of the show, we're going to learn about all the great things that she's involved in and the many hats that she wears. And definitely want her to share more about her show. I am a follower and a fan, and so I want listeners to know how to reach out to her and also to follow her show. So Ronice, you ready to do the second half of this Fly Conversation?
I am so ready to do the second half of this. It does go by quickly, right?
It does. I have to watch this clock so carefully because I get so caught up in the conversation that I forget that I have other things that I need to be managing here. So let's talk about the Ronice show, the Ronice MB show. Tell us how you came about developing that show. You know, talk about some of your guests, what's to come, and how can listeners tune into your show?
Okay, so the Ronice MB Show, she was born out of, I did a different show, and that show was based on the premise of holding each other accountable for our choices. And then to know the dynamics that go along is really what centered around women, and to know that women, we choose things, but we want to, again, hold other people able to say that it's someone else's fault. So whether that's sustaining a wrong relationship, friendship, how we spend our money, all these things, right? You want to be able to blame it on someone else. And then my co-host and I, we started to go in creative, different directions. And so not to take anything away from the premise of that show, I decided to do the Ronice MB Show. And on my show, we have an array of guests that have actually gone through something. And then on the other side, found a joyful experience in it. And it's not always happy, like I said, but it's to really be able to say that there's joy in my journey. Some people like to look at joy as a destination. I look at it as a path. And so the Ronice MB Show, it comes on Wednesday nights. It's on available online at www.ronice.com. R-O-N-I-C-E, M as in Mary, B as in boy.com. And the shows pretty much have, my guests have been Luther Wright, a former NBA star. I've had Wani Hunt on there. Shows that are upcoming include Abdul Muhammad, as well as just regular people, because it's about real talk, real life, real people. And I think that everyone has a story to share. I've had girl talk, I've had guy talk, I have Kevin E. Taylor coming up on one of my shows. He was a producer for BET. And just to really sit down and just have some other conversations that just really be able to bridge the gap when it comes to communication, whether it's between the sexes, between women. And then I also spotlight just a little bit about my own family. I think my family is almost like, if you had to think about the Wayans, combined a little bit with the Brady Bunch and the Real Cosby Show, if you had to really think about it. We don't have that kind of money, but and Live in Color just a little bit. It's so colorful to me that I'm able to talk about all the dynamics of the issues that I think that we personally have. I know for myself, I believe that everything that we go through stems from 5 different places, whether it's ourselves, our family, finances, weight issues that you discuss, and just not having a balance emotionally, spiritually, in your physical. So that's pretty much about that show. And I do wear so many other hats. Like I said, I have a regular 9-to-5 job. I work for the city. I enjoy working for the city. I am the new chief of staff for the director of health there, which falls into the premise of my background. The Ronice and B Consulting Group we focus on philanthropic development and nonprofit development for nonprofits, including healthcare, social services, institutions. And then Black Boys Count, which actually came before all the other negative things that have transpired that we have seen over the past couple of months that have happened to Black men. And being the mother of 3 sons, I really need my sons to understand that they matter to me. And even if society may ignore you, they matter. I love my brothers. I love my sons. I love my husband. I have phenomenal male friends. And sometimes they're discounted and lumped into a group that it just bothers me. And even for all the things that I've gone through, because I have them, I also know that there are great men in the world, and there are great Black men in the world. And so Black Boys Count is really focused on that. So those are just a couple of things that I do, and they all have a passion of, you know, embedded deep down inside of me. And I do what I do.
How do you balance it all? But how do you balance it all? Because you're a wife, a mother of 4 children, and you have not just a 9-to-5, but you're an entrepreneur. So you have like multiple businesses outside of that. So how do you balance everything?
You know, I think it's almost funny because I don't think it's me. There's nothing that I think that I'm doing that isn't aligned in my purpose. It used to be a time when I would go to a job that I was doing to be doing it, but it wasn't aligned to my passion and my purpose. And it took a while for me to be able to recognize that, and I would just show up and get a check. And then when I started to really move past the money part of things and the title part of things, it started to balance itself out for me. So when I get up in the morning and I go to a job, I don't think of it that way. It's really and truly just a part of who I am. And so that makes it easier to balance, right? And then with all the other things that go on, it's more about time management than anything else. With my children being of different ages, I have one that's 23, a 16-year-old, a 9-year-old, and an 8-year-old, that I have to make out blocks of time for all of them because they all have different needs. I think when I turned around 40, I realized that I couldn't afford my children. And I had a friend, she kind of laughed at me. She said, Ronnie, what? I said, oh, financially, they're fine. I said, emotionally, they all require so much of my emotional bank that I'm having trouble affording my children. And they all have different personalities. You know, they all have different needs. But I had to recognize that if I don't learn to tap into their account, they'll stop tapping into mine as well, too.
That's so true. And even though, and you have a 23-year-old, you said, right? Because I don't know if you can relate to this, but when I have a 22-year-old and a 27-year-old, and I always say this, you know, there are plenty of books out there and support groups when you have newborns and toddlers and when they get to grade school, you know, there's plenty of chatter and talk about how to be a good parent of children at those ages. But then when they become adults, the chatter stops. Nobody's told me how to be a mother of these grown women, you know, because the relationship shifts and it starts to evolve and go in a different direction. And so the way it was, you have to let go of that and you have to be open to what it's going to become, because they're women now. They have their own voice, their own mind, their own way of thinking, their own path. And that's what we raised them to have. We want them to be independent. But then it's kind of like, okay, I have to rethink this whole mother role because this woman has grown into the woman that I wanted her to become. And so now I have to figure out how to adjust to this.
And see, and I only have the one daughter. So she'll be the last one. She'll be a whole different dynamic for me. But my son, I remember him in his junior year in college, and I'm still trying to mommy him. And it was a cousin that said to me, "You're no longer parenting him. You're just advising him, and you have to trust that you gave him all the tools that he needs to be a man, that he'll use them." And I said, wow, I'm just an advisor. And so I had to really learn how to scale that back. And then I remember having a conversation with him one time, and he kind of snapped at me as if he was talking to just one of his friends. Mm-hmm. And I had to remind him that we can be friendly, but we will never be friends, because there's levels to this. Right. And so I'm going to respect you as the man that you're blooming into, but let's be all the way clear that there's still a difference in our relationship. And I think he and I have a really good relationship. There's times when it's not always as easy as we want it to be or turbulent, but one of the things I can say is that he knows that I love him. And so regardless of that, and that I respect him, and that the choices that he's making in his life, I tell him, I say, I think that whatever you're doing and however you're living your life is wonderful. The only rules that we have is that you don't do anything that's going to embarrass me, yourself, family, community, or God. And once you follow that path, everything that you do in life will be wonderful. And you get to live your own life your way. Because at this age, at 23, I was already his mother. And so even in raising him, the things that I had to learn to modify how I raised him, because the environment that I grew up in is not the environment that I raised him in. And so those fears shifted that I had to relearn mothering, and then I had to relearn it again and having another son 7 years later, and then relearn it again 7 years after that one, having another one, and then I had a daughter. So it's a dynamic. It's constantly evolving. So I wish they would come up with a book, but I think, too, is there's no manual to this.
Yeah,
so no matter how many books you write or read,
yes,
there's no manual to it, because one daughter is one way, you're another way, because you're not the parent that you used to be. So you could recognize that. That's why they say grandchildren, you get to do it all over again, but I'm not looking forward to that anymore. even though my husband has grandchildren, I'm like, oh, no, I'm not grandma. They call me because every time they went to go say grandma, I say I am.
That is too funny. So listen, I have three questions that I ask all of my guests, and we're down to 15 minutes now, 14. And I want to make sure that I allow time for you to answer those questions. And then I want you to share again about the time of your show and how people can reach you. So these are three questions that I like to ask all of my guests, and it's all around self-love. So the first question is, how do you define self-love?
I define self-love as the ability to recognize myself as constantly evolving, to love myself enough to respect that every day I need to grow and learn and change, and to love myself enough to walk away from anything or anyone else that isn't doing me well. Mm-hmm. That might be a little bit hard for some people to embrace. And if nothing else, love of self means that, for me, my self-love is that I have to own my own stuff and be accountable, if that makes sense.
Yep. That's powerful. So the next question is, how do you demonstrate self-love?
So I told you I had emergency surgery. Mm-hmm. And to demonstrate self-love, I had to really, through this a week ago, I had to, because I thought I was loving myself just like you said you were. So now I'm learning. I have to eat right. I have to be right spiritually. I have to take time out for myself. I have to be at peace. I have to find quiet and listen to my thoughts more often and trust my intuition, trust my choices as well, too. That's how I really have to do those things, because you want other people to co-sign your foolishness sometimes, right? But
yeah.
You really do.
Yeah.
But if I love myself enough for around me and know that it's okay for their opinion to matter enough, because those people around me are here for a purpose as well, too, and they're not here to harm me, but they're here to live in my purpose with me. So by going through that process, it's really, you know, like I said, whether it's the exercise part of it, what's the eat part of it, to make sure physically I'm okay, to take time out. Now I'm going to the doctor. I am going to go to, if my husband is listening, I know I'm going to the doctor on a regular basis, because, it's, you know, physically there's nothing usually wrong with me. So I'm like, okay. I take time out to speak to other people that are licensed to be able to talk to me, to keep me balanced. And then I'm also taking time to love myself enough to be quiet and listen to myself.
Mm. Listen, can we just pause there for a second? Because
mm-hmm.
I thought when my daughters, you know, graduated college, my oldest daughter lives on her own, my youngest daughter's here, but, you know, she's not here. She's gone all the time. I thought I was going to be one of those crazy empty nesters. I was watching all those shows thinking, oh, my God, everybody's gone. I'm just sitting here by myself. I discovered, you know, learning how to be still and be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And it is
mm-hmm.
such an amazing, beautiful thing. Like, I'm annoyed if I go 7 days without having some quiet time home alone. Like,
yes.
Or even, I don't even have to be home, but just by myself, where I just have
mm-hmm.
that time to myself. Even just being alone running errands is something that I treasure, because it's kind of like I don't have to have a conversation with anybody. I don't have to entertain anybody. It's just me. And I just embrace it. I love it. And it's the best gift that I've ever given myself, is to not fear being alone and to embrace quiet time and alone time, because that's how I get my energy. That's how I re-energize myself to be able to get back out there and keep going.
It was so funny. And then I got kicked out of yoga class. Because I just couldn't be quiet. Right? I said, my own likes to talk. I don't know what your problem is. But now I can actually, you know, having a family and just being, you know, you get to work and people want to talk to you and everything else. So pretty much the only time I get to be alone is in my drive to work and my drive home.
Mm.
I really, even if I get up a little earlier and I'm just lying in the bed and I'm not doing anything, just those moments, it calms me. And it used to be a time when I would just feel as if I'm not doing something, if I'm not moving, and quiet, not just not listening to noise, but in a sense of quiet and peace. You know, when you can be in a room full of people, but you learn how to be
yeah.
at peace with yourself, that quiet.
Yeah.
And conversations that I don't have to, just because I'm invited to a conversation, I don't have to participate in those conversations. I enjoy walking away from gossip. I enjoy walking
Girl,
away
you,
from
you're
drama.
Saying something now.
I'm just, yeah. So when you sit down and you hear all that stuff, and, you know, people
yes.
put stuff on social media, and you do, like, even that, you're always inundated with something. You're always on. You know, you see the kids fighting on social media. I'm like, why didn't somebody break that up? Because I get irritated with things like that. But that's
well,
when
I have
you
have
to
share
turn all that off.
Yes. Yeah, and I have to share a story with you. I'm going to put my sister on blast, but she knows she loves me. She knows I do this occasionally. But this is my baby sister. She lives in California. And so, you know, we talk on the phone all the time, or we're sending each other messages because we don't see each other except maybe once a year. But she's, you know, very sensitive, and someone had made a comment. Her daughter just made the swim team. We're very proud of her. And she swims 4 hours a day, and she's being groomed to compete. And she's a really, really good swimmer. And she's natural, so her hair is natural. So you can imagine where I'm about to go with this. It's a nightmare trying to keep her hair healthy and in a presentable style because she's in the water and chlorine all the time. So somebody posted on Facebook a very derogatory comment about her hair. And my sister snapped on Facebook. So I'm seeing the message and I'm out and I'm like, oh my God, what is going on? What happened? I can't get her on the phone. So I sent her a message saying, listen, don't give this person airtime because they don't deserve it. And whoever said this has issues within themselves. So this is not even about your daughter. This is about this person and whatever, however they see themselves, because who would do this to a young girl? Like she's a sophomore in high school. Like who would make a comment like that? Come to find out, it was a personal friend of hers.
Wow.
A personal friend, and they got outed on Facebook. So all my great, you know, guidance and counseling to her went out the window. Because when I found out that, I snapped. And I'm thinking, you're a mother. You're a grown woman. Like, we don't talk about our children. Children are off limits.
Mm-hmm.
You can say anything you want to say about me, my husband, but don't talk about my mama and don't talk about my daughters because we're going to have a problem. Like, I know sticks and stones. I know that whole thing, but it's personal. So for me personally, I feel like children are off limits. And then you're going to degrade a young black woman who just made it on a swim team. She's the only black female on her swim team, and her potential is through the roof, which is why she's on this swim team, and she's swimming 4 hours a day. Who cares that her hair is fuzzy? This chick is developing skills. She's working towards a scholarship. She could be the next, you know, name out there in terms of an athlete, and you're worried about, you know, you should be building her up and encouraging her, not tearing her down talking about her hair. But anyway.
Well, one of the things I have instilled in my, she'll articulate it in all my children, but especially my little ladybug, my Duchess, is that issues begin with other people. Where your confidence ends and their insecurity begins. And so once you really get to embrace that, no matter what somebody else says about you, because, you know, now having brothers, oh, he said this about me, he said that about me. And I said, if you know it not to be true, where I know it may hurt, but don't allow that to define who you are. And people want to talk about, her own jealousy, that people can attack somebody else. But you have to recognize, and that's the other thing, too, is that I don't have to make sense of your crazy. I don't have to fix you. I don't have to do that. I don't have to fix other people, because that was the other thing, too, I had to really learn. I don't have to fix anyone else. That I only have my tools and my toolbox, and my tools may not fit your nuts. Like, it just may not work that way. But we have to really start to, as women, really stop trying to fix everybody else and just really look at ourselves and say, whatever it is about me that I want to repair, whatever it is that I want to fix, that's the only way I'm going to get to another level. That's the only way I'm going to soar. That's the only way I can be fly. Mm-hmm. If I can't fix all those things, because even this, I know we only have a little bit of time, but I shared a funny story is, you know, when I go to clean up my house, if my mind isn't right, I can go and clean up every other room in my house. I can go with somebody and go in the kids' room, and I can throw away all their stuff. I can do all this other stuff. Then I get to my own bedroom. Mm-hmm. And I can't clean my room for anything in the world because I can't organize my own stuff. And when my mind isn't right, it's a reflection on when I'm disorganized in my own self. And so even though we have to think about that, a dentist can fix everybody else's tooth, but he'll walk around with a toothache. Women will walk around and we'll fix all our friends' problems. We could tell all our friends what they should do and what they shouldn't do. But then when you got to turn around, look in the mirror at yourself, you don't even have a clue because you can't take your own advice because it's easier said than done. I know with my weight issues, I have people that can give me all the advice in the world on how to lose weight and how to do this. But your ideas don't fit into the blueprint of my life. Yes, they say you should eat every 5 minutes, every 15 minutes, whatever that is, make your metabolism go faster. Well, guess what? I have 3 and 4 hour meetings sometimes, and I don't have time to sit down and eat. I would love to be able to be like your niece and go swim 4 hours a day or go to the gym for 6 hours and do all this other kind of stuff. My life isn't conducive to that. But I do know that if I don't make time for myself in my own way, I'm going to fall apart and I won't be good to anyone else. So,
so what do you love about anybody, yourself?
Ooh, you better. What Beyonce say? Put your love on top. Because it's me. It's me that I love. It's me that I need. And I make the world stop because I put my love on top. That's my song. And I say it all about me. Because there used to be a time when I didn't love anything about myself. I love my ability to make myself laugh at everything. I gotta, as hard as it is, I can look in the mirror and just say, you know what, you're a stone cold nut sometimes. I am. I know. I love the fact that in this place that I am in right now, in this journey, that I attract good people in my life. And so I know I'm doing good. Even for you, we met on a humble, if I have to think about it, and the connection and the spirit. And I sat next to you, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I just love her. And I say that in the most confident way because it's a spiritual connection that happened that I would never be able to tap into before. I love the fact that I find good in everyone until they turn it into something different. I love the fact that I am tall because some women won't embrace that. And I just love the fact that I get to be me every day. And it's okay. I don't have to be anybody else. I don't have a desire to be anyone else. I just want to be the best me that I can be. And hopefully in being me and sharing who I am without any shame is that somebody will say, Ronice, you saved my life today. It's it's about the legacy of all of this. And to have people say that to me while I still can hear it and not on some egotistical kind of thing, but just to know that there was a time when I was ready to leave here. I was ready to decide my whole life today because of things that somebody else did to me, and I just didn't love myself enough to say, I matter, I'm here, see me, feel me, hear me, somebody please, give me a hug, somebody recognize the fact that I'm here. And there's so many women I know, we walking around and we wearing a cape and we feeling like I'm just superwoman. I can do it all. I can be it all. I am everything. I'm an independent, strong black woman. I don't need anybody. I don't need a man. I don't need anything. I can tell you, it's okay to say, I need somebody. I need somebody to hear me. I need somebody to feel me. I need somebody to recognize me. Because you matter. We all matter. And if nothing else, I love the fact that I know that I fought for my happiness and nobody else is entitled to make me unhappy. And I'm not going to let them do it.
Well, I just love what you're doing, love the work that you're doing. I am a fan. I've been following you since we met. Love the new format of the show. I'm so grateful to have you on the show today to share your story and to inspire and empower women. For me, that's my mission. That's what it's all about. When I see women in pain, I want to do everything I can to take that pain away and to put a smile on their face. And because of the same reasons that you just said. So I can't believe the show is over. I could talk to you for another hour.
I look forward to the invitation to come back and have you come be a guest on my show as well, too.
Yes, we have to stay connected and collaborate. Maybe there's a way that we can collaborate in the future. But thank you again. And I want you, these last 30 seconds, just tell people about the show again so that they'll know how to follow the Ronice MB Show.
So the Ronice MB Show is, the webisodes are online at www.ronice, R-O-N-I-C-E, mismarybisinboy.com. You can go now to the website to view previous webisodes. You can also find me on Facebook, The Ronisa and B Show. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My hashtag is Ronisa and B, real simple. And again, if anybody has a story that they would like to share, you can email me at RoniceMB@hotmail.com. Annette, thank you again so much. I really appreciate
thank
the
you.
Opportunity and the honor. Oh, my goodness. I'm giving you virtual hugs. You just don't know. This is just...
I'm giving them back. Thank you.
And everybody
thank you,
on
sister.
The air and in the air, thank you so much. If anybody has any feedback, I welcome to hear it. And again, Annette, anytime you come on
okay.
my show, come sit on the couch with me, come join us at Girl Talk. We're going
to
have
I'm going to hold
time.
You to it. Yes, I'm going to hold you to
again.
It. Okay, thank you, and have a great week. Thank you, everybody,
you
for
do
listening.
The same.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.